Welcome to Galley Tables, sharing stories and sharing life. Each month, Galley Table Storytelling hosts a live event in the Kodiak community. Storytellers are given 7 minutes to tell a personal story related to a monthly theme. Tonight, we're going to hear those stories.
And I'm going to be talking about the road less traveled from my home, because honestly, before here, I had never seen the ocean nor been a part of any ocean going service, and I had no idea what a cutter even was. So let's begin. High school year, 12th grade, I was thinking of what I wanted to do. I was a normal C average student with no idea what college was, what taxes were, anything like that at all, because honestly, who cares about that in high school? All I wanted to do was be popular and have friends. So, the end of the year comes around, I decided I was going to graduate early and move on with my life. So, as any normal student would do, with $300 in my pocket and a quarter tank of gas, I moved an hour away to my father's house from my mother's, and I started working 9 to 5 at a TA overnight. About a half a year later, I decided I was sick and tired of working at a TA truck stop and meeting random people every night from midnight till 6 in the morning, so I decided I was going to join the Air Force. Oh wait, you have to be smart to do that. Alright, next option. Coast Guard, that's it. Alright. So, I hear they have this thing called cutters, and they go on the ocean and stuff like that. I don't know what the ocean is, but you know what? Let's do it anyway. Okay, so I went to meet a recruiter. The recruiter closest to me was in Denver, Colorado, which was 4 hours away. So instead of like me being a rational person and flying, no, I drove 4 hours three times to meet this man. The first time I drove down there, I was 285 pounds. Turns out to get into the Coast Guard at 5'9", thanks to shortness, I have to be 170 pounds. Let's begin a quick workout montage for the next year where I starved myself, went on water diets, and I slowly caused myself to go insane as I reached 170 pounds. A year later, I'm 170, and I'm officially joining the Coast Guard, and I'm going to MEPS. I drive down another 4 hours to go meet my recruiter. I do a run test and all of that stuff. I finally get to the recruiter, and I meet my first ever military personnel, that of my father. As I walk in and I realize what I've done, I'm just super excited as any other 18-year-old would be to get away from his hometown. So, any like rational person, I signed 6 years of my life away, and I guaranteed to trip straight up to Kodiak, Alaska, because who else would want to go anywhere else but here? Time working at a normal construction job and doing the normal thing that you do, you know, climbing 20-foot towers and living life at its fullest, because, you know, why not? And then I spent 9 weeks in Cape May, New Jersey, because 8 weeks was not enough for me. No, I needed to get an extra week just to be safe. 9 weeks later, I graduated from Cape May, New Jersey, just in time for Christmas, and then, like as any normal recruit would do, I decided to take my 5 days of leave and go back home to go and spend Christmas with the family and try to relax from the last 9 weeks of hell that I had been through. As I spent the 5 days having a lovely Christmas with my family and everything, I was going to get ready for my flight to St. Louis. As I was about to take off, Mother Nature decided to drop an F-bomb on me and hit me with a gigantic snowstorm, canceling and closing every single interstate, highway, and back road, and country dirt road. I tried them all on my way to St. Louis. There was no way I was getting there. So, as I, being an irrational person and freaking out because All I can hear in the back of my head is ramp, 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 ramp. And I'm freaking out internally, so I'm in my garage throwing tools, throwing glasses, all sorts of different stuff. My father comes in and tells me, well, you know what? Why don't you just drive the 15 hours to Seattle because they've got another place to drop off your car? I have 24 hours till my flight. Sure, why not? Let's get on the road. It's 3 p.m. I can drive all night. It's fine. It's the middle of winter, December. While Wyoming has roads that are icier than the Atlantic, it's fine. 15 hours later, I arrived in Seattle at a place where you would drop your cars off. As I got to the place, I realized that not only one, that you cannot have a bra on your car, so they made me tear off $120 worth of equipment off of my car. Second, you're not allowed to have any pieces of equipment in your car. That means no electrical items, no tools, nothing like that. So after dropping all of that in my TROPS bag, I walked into the air station, and I got onto my flight and somehow made it to Kodiak Island, where I realized I was coming to my first ever cutter. And like any non-rail, I stood at position of attention the entire time. And I did not say a word to my BM3, to my BM2, anybody on the cutter except sit at position of attention and pray it was over. I was lucky enough though to have 3 months in port. I worked on my quals and slowly getting myself up and respect and everything. 5 minutes is up. And I slowly made my way to getting fully qualified and I was ready to go. As I got there, we came to a thing called shakedown. If y'all don't know what shakedown is, this is where we kind of shake the rust off and get yourself ready to go being underway. I had no idea what being underway even meant, nor what we actually did as a deckhand, because I had never been on the ocean, nor had I been on a 282-foot cutter before. The lines that we're going to have to take apart, take line 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 in, and get underway into the ocean. That's going to be interesting. So I go ahead and we do all of our stuff, and we start to go out, and I start to feel a little something. Oh god, seasickness. Turns out coming from a place where it's just flatlands and no seas at all, I can't even handle a 1 foot wave, so I spent the majority of my shakedown in the stall screaming and throwing up profusely. And then they secured sewage. Oh, help me. So after a gruesome 2 days of being underway, I finally made it back inland and I kissed the ground. Thank goodness I'm back. And we made it in, and then 2 weeks later, I realized that we would be going underway again for 2 months to Seattle. I take a lot of Dramamine now, don't worry, I take care of myself. So in the end, this is the road less traveled for myself. Coming from Nebraska and coming out here to Kodiak has been an amazing trip. I've almost spent a year out here, and I love the island of Kodiak. I love the mountains because I've never seen anything like that before. It's gorgeous! And I love climbing, I love hiking, I love doing everything that's physically possible out here, and I'm really sad that in 6 to 9 months I'll be leaving to go to DCA school, and I will spend every single moment out here. I'm glad that I was able to come to a thing called Galley Tables, thanks to a fireman named Figueroa, an amazing man who showed me what this was, and I hope to be out here with the rest of you, because the road less traveled has been an amazing road for me.
When her very sexy husband had a job here, and 2 years of long distance was just too long. She worked as a medical assistant in OBGYN at ANMC, you know, babies and vaginas. Now she's working towards being a surgical technician. Again, she is married to her husband Jordan, I'm sorry, her very sexy husband Jordan. She just wants to embarrass him a little bit. And her hobbies include anything in the mountains, skiing, hiking, backpacking, fishing. She never matches her socks, and she hates tomatoes. Please welcome Kelsey.
So, I got 2 stories for you. One of them was a couple years back. I've been backpacking with my best friend Molly for a couple years now. But one of our first backpacking trips together was just kind of an overnight trip into the mountains. And she had promised a lake at the end of this 6-hour hike, and so we're going, and we're the only people out there, it's awesome. And it starts getting super windy and super rainy, and it's just really shitty. Anyway, so it's getting really bad. I'm like, hey, Mom, about 5 hours into this, I'm like, hey, Mom, how much longer to this lake? And she goes, I have no idea. So I was like, ah, screw it, we're just gonna make camp. So we made camp somewhere in the middle of, we have no idea where. And, you know, as a rule of thumb, or as a hiker or a backpacker, you take your food and you put it way far away from you next. You don't earn burritos from bears. And anyways, so we put our food over there, and what you don't know at this point is my friend Molly, I've been on the diet, one hard-boiled egg, one cup of vegetables, and half a cup of rice in a Ziploc baggie for every meal for 3 months now. I shared a tent with her. anyways, and I have blueberry pancakes. Hell yeah. And so the next morning we get up and she's like, hey, I'm just gonna go grab the food. So I said, yeah, I'll just chill in the tent. And so I'm sitting there and she gets up and all I hear is this, frick! And I like poke my head out. I was like, Molly, you okay? If you don't know Molly, don't get to know her while she's hangry. I look at her and she's a couple yards away and she's got two Ziploc bags. She's got my blueberry pancakes in one. And she's got her half eaten, whatever she's allowed to eat for that day, for the next 4 hours, just in that hand. And she is just fuming mad. She could just see steam rolling out of her ears. And she's staring at me. She's looking at my blueberry pancakes and looking at her food. It's like half chewed. Half of her food's gone. Including the hard boiled egg. She's like, well, it's half eaten. And I was like, well, what do you think ate it? She's like, a gopher. A gopher got into my food. I didn't know we had gophers in Alaska, surprise. And anyway, so she's like, well, do you think it's still good to eat? This is your only food 4 hours. I think you should go for it. She did not talk to me for like an hour. Anyway, cycling it back a few years, well, 8-year-old me. My family used to go on a bunch of like rafting trips, and so my older brother and I used to go together, but he would go a couple times before I was allowed to go, because I was small. And so he's been doing this for a couple years, and he is just super proud. He's like, yeah, rafting. And I've never been before, and I'm like in a raft with my grandma, and it's just the two of us. And there's a bunch of other rafts, and I look across this river, it's like a class three, look across the river, and my brother is just, he's just pumping his chest out a good old time. And I'm with my grandpa. We have all the snacks. All of them. And my grandpa turns to me and he looks ahead and he's like, sees a couple rabbits up ahead and goes, hey, you want a student rat? And a little 8-year-old me in a little pink like this. Look at my brother. Yeah, I want a student rat. We go and it gets to a point in the river where all of these like five other rats are going into these rapids. And I look to the right. And there's this very, very calm, still water with a little dip in it. I'll be stupid. I steer the raft to the right. And we're just going along. I think I'm having a good time. And we get to this little dip. And if you don't know what a hole is, you're about to find out. So it is a rock underneath the water, just below surface level. So it just looks like it's like, boop, but it's not. So this raft hits the hole. And so water is coming from behind us, in front of us, and the sides of us. So your raft is just stuck like this. And all the snacks are just flying everywhere. Like, you get snack and you get snack and you get shirt, whatever you get snack. And the snacks are just everywhere. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like throwing it over this way. And I'm like panicking. And the girl was like, what did you do? And I'm like, no. So he takes this oar and like jams it into the boat comes up, you know, and we're just floating for a second. He goes, what were you thinking? Really don't know. Anyway, everybody's kind of like laughing, but they're also mad because we all of their snacks. But yeah, anyways, that was the moment I learned that sometimes taking the roadless travel is not as fun as it seems.
Our next storyteller is a fella named Ryan Phillips. I think some of you might know him. He was born in Wichita Falls, Texas. He came to Kodiak with the Coast Guard, like so many of our friends. He's now on the Coast Guard Cutter Spar.
You guys
are so excited, I don't know what to do. He really enjoys his work. He also loves to travel. He loves all things outdoors. No wonder he likes Kodiak. You might remember the story last year his wife Sarah told about their dog McCarty. And then he wants you to know that Kodiak is the fourth island that he's lived on, although the first in the Pacific. Please welcome Ryan Phillips.
In 2009, I bought my dream motorcycle. and I had it for 1 week, breaking in 700 pounds of iron horse. And after 1 week, my dad and I decide that we're gonna drive to Canada from North Texas after 1 week owning my bike. What could go wrong? So we head out, and this is June in Texas, pretty hot, it's about 100. We head through West Texas, New Mexico, and we camp out in Southeast Colorado, and it starts raining, and it doesn't stop forever. Almost the entire trip, it's raining. I went through rain, snow, sleet, floods, wind. Colorado, rain, Rocky Mountain National Park, Wyoming, and we get to Yellowstone. We're driving through Yellowstone geysers, all that stuff. And I get to see my first grizzly bear. And we're riding around, and it's kind of this ravine, and it's working its way up, and it's just kind of lumbering along. And it's, I was like, Dad, look how slow that bear is. I can totally ride ahead and get like a picture coming back while it's coming at me, because it's slow. So I ride ahead about half a mile, and I pull up, and I'm getting my camera out in this little windshield bag, and we have little cameras that weren't our phones. I'm getting out, and the park ranger pulls up next to me. He's like, just go! Don't get your camera out! Just go, just go! And he didn't, I didn't even have to think twice. I knew it was happening. The bear was fast. And so, I take off, and before I head out, I kind of look over my shoulder, because I'm curious how close this bear is. And I'm kind of looking, and that bear was about, I don't know, about right here. Right there. And I get down, I'm, but as what happened, you get the pictures, the bear's so fast, so fast. So we come out of Yellowstone and we go, we're heading north. We're like on gravel roads and the Tetons and something that should be for a mountain bike and all on 700 pounds of Harley, trying to keep it together. And I'm sorry, that was before Yellowstone. We come out of Yellowstone, northeast corner. When you cross into Montana from the northeast corner, you cross a 9,000 feet pass called Beartooth Pass. And I left Texas in June, prepared for 100 degree weather. Beartooth Pass, Montana, 9,000 feet is winter wonderland. So we're going real slow because the roads are sketchy, and my dad's in front of me about 100 yards, and we're just kind of barely putting down the road. And I didn't notice, but there's golden eagles at that altitude, and this giant eagle comes down, and I swear it's gonna like grab my dad and fly away with him. Instead, he lands next to the road, and I'm looking this thing in the eye as I drive by. It's so big, I'm just cruising, and not even kidding, that eagle goes, "You lost, boy." No, sir. Call me, sir. We come down the pass, and I'm freezing. We get stopped in this bar, and I'm getting off. I look like Jack Nicholson in Shining. So cool. And the bartender's like, you just came off the pass, didn't you? Yeah, there's an eagle up there giving directions. Go through Montana, and we come to Idaho, and we cross into Canada at the little skinny part of Idaho. When you cross in Canada, it's really kind of just like a little phone booth there where you cross the customs agent. Customs agent comes out and she's jolly. She's got her big Mountie hat on. She's like, looking at her passport, she goes, sorry. How are you now? Oh, real good. How are you? Well, not so bad. Says you're from Texas, eh? Where are your guns? We don't have any guns, man. My father behind me also doesn't have any guns. All you cowboys from Texas have guns. You're free to check out our saddlebags if you want to look, and we don't have any guns, but you're welcome to check. She's just kind of like, you don't seem like bad fellas. No, I'm sorry about that. Sorry, Mr. Phillips. Enjoy Canada. We drove off through Canada, saw some family. Again, it's been raining, fog. Basically the worst parts of the Bible. We come down through Washington, Oregon, California. We hit Reno, and it stops raining while we cross the desert, and it's super hot. Utah, Colorado, we go to Red River, New Mexico. And it's our last night, I think it's day 13. And we're like, are we gonna wake up tomorrow morning? It's gonna be our last push. It's an 8-hour ride, no problem. Sounds good, I've been doing like 6-5-hour rides through hell and back, so 8 hours, nothing. Wake up, it's like 40 in the Rockies, and we get to about eastern New Mexico, Amarillo, and like the heat comes on, and it's so hot. It's just, it's like 1,000 blow dryers just blowing on you, and you're just sweating from places you don't sweat from. And a motorcycle seat's like this big, and like hour five, it's just like starts, it's right there. And it just gets smaller and smaller, and you're riding a 2x4 by the end of the day. We took that 8 hours and stretched it into 12, I think. It's so hot, and I get home, and I take my helmet off, and I'm just exhausted. And we did, I think, 14 days, 6,000 miles, like 11 states, Canada, and it was absolutely miserable. It was an amazing experience. I'm glad I got to with my father, and I loved it, but it's the road less traveled because I will never do that again right now.
Was born in Seattle and came to Kodiak at the age of one when his parents came here without asking him. He has worked in commercial fishing, real estate, and now he's a financial advisor with Edward Jones. He's the oldest of four boys. His hobbies include hiking, racquetball, and tennis. Craig is a third generation Kodiak resident, and his parents love Kodiak and continue to live here in retirement. His dad's parents, his grandparents, stayed through their retirement. And Craig and his wife, Terry, who met in high school, have no plans to ever leave.
Galley Tables in October was inspiring. Feelings were shared, and that prompted me to sign up for tonight. If they could go down that road, maybe, just maybe, I can too. My story starts right here in Kodiak when I was young. I had a special friend, and every year I think of him. Every April and December. I remember growing up together, grade school, playgrounds, overnights, gym nights, playing ping pong for hours and basketball practice. In high school, we worked at the local cannery on the unloading crew. We'd hurry to his house for a quick lunch and right back to work. Sometimes those would be work weeks of 80 hours and longer. One summer, we went to Port Bailey. He was on the beach gang. I was in the warehouse. Lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. We were young and carefree. I remember his going away to flight school and my going away to college. He was the youngest of four and had three older sisters. His sisters were cheerleaders, well known and well liked. Certainly out of my league, I can tell you that. Rob had a great family and a home that was always open to visitors. He lived right across the street from the high school, and the house remains there today. Their family owned Kodiak Airways, the flight service that took freight, passengers, and mail all around the island. We get to go on adventures like clam digging and bird hunting, sightseeing. Part of one summer we spent on a Sitkanak ranch. Every April and December, I remember him. His flashing eyes, his quick smile, his blonde hair. Rob was fun. At times we laughed so hard we couldn't stop. This happened one time at a choir practice at Community Baptist Church. Yes, we sang in the church choir, robes, choir robes and all. Mrs. Chase, our music teacher, was so unhappy with us, she could almost scream. Even at the time, I remember thinking, what's so wrong with a little laughter? There's got to be worse things in the world. Not long after the accident, his parents got divorced. I still see his sisters from time to time. When we meet, we'll visit, sometimes mention his name. We've been touched by his life, enriched by it. We miss him. His mother lived here through her later years, and every April and December, this mother remembers a lost son. One night years ago, I got a phone call from Bristol Bay, Teresa. She asks, is this Craig Johnson? Yes. Craig and Terry Johnson? Yes. She lives in Igigig. The phone connection isn't very good. It's 20 years later, she says. I'm not really sure why I'm calling. Do you remember Rob Hall? Like it was yesterday, I remember him, and a flood of memories comes over me. Lives have changed. She's married, has 5 children. Yet she remembers Rob every April and December. She'd like to contact his family. There are some things that he shared with her that he told her that she wanted them to know, particularly his mother. I called him that day, but I had to leave a message. He was fine. It was like now, when we have about 6 hours of daylight. It was December when he left us. Coming home from work, I remember thinking a certain street light ahead must be out. It wasn't out, I was surprised to see. But I didn't know that until it was right underneath it. And then you could tell that it was on normal, but the fog was so thick you could cut it with a knife. It wasn't a good day for flying. And I wouldn't see his bright eyes again, just 2 years out of high school. His plane went down over Chiniac that night. No mayday, no report. All that was found over the next several days of searching were 2 bodies in life jackets, both women, one 5 miles off the Cape and one many further miles out. If I remember right, there were 6 on board, including a state trooper. And 5 others have their own special friends, and when winter's icy fog surrounds us, we remember together every December. Teresa flew here for the memorial service. Terry and I invited her for dinner. Rob had called her lady. She tells me she felt uncomfortable here. She didn't know Rob's family that well, but she says Rob's dad was kind. At dinner, she'd never seen the cherry tomatoes we had on the salad and didn't know how to eat them. Praise the Lord, I say, I believe we'll see Rob again. It just comes out of me, Lord willing. She responds with understanding and asks how long I've been a Christian. 1979, she says for her it was 1980. There is an icy cold winter in each of our lives. When I lost my friend Rob, I hardly had known death, the hurt, the sting, the lingering pain that's like a crushing weight on your chest. At his service, I was sad mostly because so little of him was shared. The minister didn't know my friend. He didn't know my Rob. The cold hand of winter gives way to the season of spring. New life, fresh flowers, green grass, light, glorious light, and the warmth of the sun shining on your face. This happens in April, the month of his birth, the month of hope and promise that is Easter. Resurrection, from the sleep of death, life returns. Heaven will be wonderful, eternal, a place of warmth, life, light, rest, and peace, and reunion with special friends. For now, I only reflect, and yes, I dream about what might have been. I express myself more openly. I share my pain more willingly. I reach out to others more often, because we are so much alike. How long will I remember him? As long as there are Aprils and Decembers. Yeah.
In case you didn't know, Olivia Crota, you're telling the next story. Give her some extra cheers because I learned that she just finished finals. Woo! Everybody knows how good that moment feels. So, Olivia was born in Detroit, Michigan. She came to Kodiak in November 2017. The Coast Guard brought her here when she was assigned to Kodiak as her first unit. She has a very large, it's in parentheses, Kodiak family. We all know what that means because Kodiak is the most friendly, loving place you could ever go. So her large Kodiak family is composed of many of the people who are in the audience. Holler if you know Olivia. Woo! Popular gal. But aside from that, her family is mostly in Michigan. She has two brothers, her mom, her dad, her dog, Bert, back home. A lot of extended family. She wouldn't even write down all their names. Her best way to describe it is the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding is literally her life. She said that before, she'll say it again. It's the easiest way for her to describe in a way that other people can understand how large her family is. Olivia enjoys hiking, playing sports, hanging out with friends, listening to and playing music, and making the most of wherever she's at in any situation, which is probably good on the road less traveled. Please give it up for Olivia Crota.
Hi, everybody. So I hope this isn't rude. I'm gonna need to use my phone in a little bit, so I might have it out, but. When I signed up for Galley Tables, I'm moving in a month. When I signed up for Galley Tables last month, I thought I would be gone before next Galley Tables. But I won't be, so I'll be here next Galley Tables, but I won't be talking. But I signed up for that reason. It's gonna be my goodbye to Kodiak, just so everybody can know how appreciative I am of you guys. So, I signed up, but I didn't even really care. Like, not that I didn't care about the topic, but I just didn't know what to talk about. Just kind of wrote my name down, and I'll be honest, I didn't come up with my story until last night into this morning, so it's gonna be a little rough, but it's more or less travel, so, So initially when I heard the theme, The Road Less Traveled, it made me think of this song by Lauren Alena, and I couldn't really think of any way to really talk about that in a story. So maybe I'll sing it at the very end, I don't know. It depends on how I feel. But wanted to go back to think about how I thought The Road Less Traveled as a kid. I grew up in Michigan, so I grew up in the suburbs. Anything that was 10 miles of road that didn't have houses or cars and pretty much was lined with corn, that was what I considered the road less traveled as a little kid. So, every road trip we went on, or, even going to, baseball games or softball games or whatever, some of the best memories were on, the roads less traveled for me. So, obviously, moving to Kodiak, that perception has changed a lot, because there's a lot of roads that are, 10 miles long with nothing, so. But, honestly, because of that reason, I had to really think about how I perceive the road less traveled, so... here, it's more just through the hikes that I've done, so I kind of want to talk about one of my more memorable Kodiak hikes that definitely, I feel like it's symbolic of everything that's happened here. So, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Center Mountain. How many people here have hiked Center Mountain before? Have you ever hiked it in the winter? In the middle of winter? Okay. So some people can identify with this. One of my good friends, I honestly hike with him all the time. One of my good friends, he had texted me one day. It was I remember what day. It was February 5th. He texted me and was hey, me and so-and-so are going on this hike, and you should totally come along and whatever. But keep in mind, he's somebody that's hiked the Pacific Coast Trail. He hiked in 5 months. I mean, he's a crazy hiker. He's a mountain, pretty much a mountain goat. He's part mountain. So he's oh, don't be that bad, blah, 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 whatever. And I was hiked with him before, I can keep up, I'll be fine, I'll be good. So I've never really done a long hike like that before though, so I didn't really know how to prepare. I packed my little backpack, tons of layers and Didn't really, for whatever reason, you think like a girl from Michigan would think about like snow on top of a mountain, but I really like didn't put much thought into that. I had a lot of layers though, but didn't have like the little, they had like spikes that were like this long, and they had hiking poles and all this stuff, and I was like, you know, like, they're a lot older than me. I'm like a spring chicken compared to them. I'll be okay. Like, it'll be fine. So we start hiking up. It was like, we drove out at like 7:30 here at the base of the mountain, and we like start hiking up. It wasn't bad. It was really pretty. Like the sun was coming up, and you know how Kodiak is. It's just beautiful. So of course we had to like soak it in, like take pictures. And then like it really wasn't that bad, like getting up to Cachoeira's summit. But I remember like they were worried about me because I didn't have the spikes or the hiking poles or anything. So they were like talking about, like, oh, how are we gonna get Olivia like to get out there? Like, I don't know if she can do it. Like, we should maybe just like give her one of our hiking poles, let's give her some of our spikes. And I just like sat down and just started sliding down. And they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, it's a solution. I mean, so started that way. And then, you know, obviously, those little spikes I had weren't enough, so I need to like duct tape to put on my feet just to make sure I can like sink. But we're like hiking along, and you know, it's like, it's, I don't know, the people that have hiked in the winter before know how it is. It's like bitterly cold, there's like snow drift, it's really pretty, but you can't really like see anything. It's so pure white that you have no depth perception. So like I had a lot of, even in the moments where I was freezing cold, I was like thoroughly entertained when they would start running, and then one would just like drop, and I was like, you're an idiot. I'm like, whatever. So there's no depth perception up there. So we're like hiking along, and it really wasn't bad until we stopped for a second. We stopped to eat like a snack, and I just felt so cold, but I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to be that person to slow everybody down. So I was like, okay, I'm fine. Inside my head, I'm like cursing their name. I'm like looking at, then I'm like stopped to take a picture. They're like, well, first of all, like when I went to take the picture, they were so close to me. Then I look out, like in the photo, I'm like seeing like two little black dots. I'm like, what the heck? And like took the camera away, and I was like, they're like a quarter mile ahead of me, just like trucking through the snow. Like, but they thought it was great because they were like making little footprints for me to follow. So I was like, okay. So we end up, ultimately, we end up getting like the bottom of this mountain after like hours, and you know, like I said, I was like cursing their name in my head, but outwardly I was like, this is awesome, woo! So I looked up at the summit and I was like, it literally, I kid you not, like, have you seen the movie The Grinch? It's like The Grinch's mountains like this, and it's just like, and then you see the snow drift, and it's just like pure ice, like just coming, and I was like, dude, I'm not summiting that, I can't do it. And they were like, you made it this far. So they're like cutting in little things for me. I ended up summoning it, but so we summoned it, and then we like had a little journey back. And like looking back on that, thinking about it, I'm like, it really did suck. I probably would never do that again. But I mean, like if you want an adventure, I recommend it. It was awesome. But I mean, it did kind of suck. And like looking back on it though, it was like the reason that I think it is the road less traveled for me. Like every road less traveled has been like great amount of memories. So to kind of add on to this, I'm gonna pull up what Google said about the road less traveled and how it connects to this. So when I Googled the road less traveled, there was a book came up first, and it said, confronting and solving problems is a painful process which most of us attempt to avoid. Avoiding resolutions results in greater pain and an inability to grow both mentally and spiritually. And then talks about the doctor and like whatever. And then he discusses the nature of loving relationships, how to distinguish dependency from love, how to become one's own person, and this book will show you how to embrace reality and yet achieve serenity in your joy of existence. I read that book, but I will say that from reading that, I felt like it was a sign to just kind of embrace, like use that to embrace Kodiak. It's been awesome, and I just love everybody so much. I'm gonna miss you guys. But you guys have been a huge part of me growing as a person. I spent 10% of my life here. So, you guys are awesome. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you so much.
I had to introduce Sharna Coe, Document, because she's one of my favorite humans, and we grew up together. She's called Kodiak home since the age of two and graduated from high school here. She lives in California now. But her father recently passed away with Dr. Min, who I'm sure many people in this room really love. She loves to travel, enjoys dancing, Pilates, concerts, and live music, and is a wealth of surprising knowledge about commercial airplanes. Welcome, Charlie.
So I was driving by, I'm here only for a few more days actually, and I saw Galley Stories. I've been to one or two years ago, like 3-4 years ago, and I saw the theme and I thought, this is perfect, I have to. So I contacted her and she squeezed me in, so thank you, Sarah. So I actually wrote this for my dad's funeral. And I want to share with all of you because we haven't done a service yet and we're going to do one probably Memorial Day weekend. So I just want to let you know. So I am my dad's oldest daughter. He recently passed away in October up on the hill, his house. My dad lived his life on his own terms and I know he left this world without a single regret. Not a single dream unexplored, not a single wish unrealized, except maybe driving that Hummer across North Africa, which he always talked about. We zigzagged across the US and we bopped around the world together. He installed that travel bug in me, and I do love to travel. And as you know, my dad, he always took the road less traveled, sometimes to our own peril. He hated using GPS, that new thing that people use, always foregoing it and pulling off at the gas station to get a new map or two or three. Every state we went in, he would get a new map, even though he had one from a year ago in the car. If you were lucky enough to be part of one of my dad's wacky adventures, whether it be to pick up a car he bought on eBay, or a hunting trip, or a road trip, or a fishing trip, or just a drive out the road, it was always a bit spontaneous and usually chaotic, but somehow my dad always knew the path he was on, even if the rest of us had no idea where we were going. And this is probably what made us love him so much and made him so fun to be around. The times he and I drove to Vegas, my first trip to Vegas, he picked me up at college in Flagstaff, Arizona. He picked me up in a rented Lincoln Town car, and as we started out on the path, he said, "Let's take this road," pointing to a little faint line on the map. It was several hours later when I realized this wasn't a road at all. It was a dried up riverbed. If we had had a flat or broken down, no one will ever find us out here in the desert. This was pre-cell phone days, of course, and all we had in the car was a few Twinkies and two sodas, but somehow we made it out of that one alive, as we always did. One of the most hair-raising trips was the time my dad took my mom, Katrina, and I to Europe and decided to drive to Croatia. And attempting to catch a ferry to Italy from the coast of Croatia, Dad decided he would take a shortcut over the mountains. Mind you, this wasn't a shortcut you find on any map. I remember passing a sign saying, "Dad, I think we should stop and look at that sign." And he said, no, I saw it. There's a road here. It goes up the mountain. We're just going over the mountain." We powered ahead. The road got bumpier and bumpier and stonier and stonier. It was pretty clear this wasn't a shortcut at all. We hadn't seen another car for hours, growing more and more concerned. We pleaded with Dad to turn around, and finally he conceded. And we came out and passed that sign and said, "Stop, let's look at the sign." We held our breaths as we read that sign that said, "Landmines ahead." Yes, another one of my dad's adventures, narrowly escaping with our lives. I imagine the headlines splashed over the news all around the world. Stupid American family dies in tragic explosion driving through active landmine field. A more recent adventure began with a phone call from my brother, Casey. He said, "Sharna, go pack your bags. You're on a flight to Florida tonight. We have to go get this engine for the North. We have to be, this engine needs to be at the boat so the boat can be in the bay in a week to tender." And I said, "Okay." So I flew out there. He picked up the Penske truck, brand new, beautiful, long bed. Packed the engine in there, tiny little engine, big, white, long truck. Start driving, and about a day and a half in, I said, "This is crazy," because Dad didn't want us to sleep. He wanted us to sleep in the truck upright. And I was like, "I can't do this, Dad, I need sleep." I thought we'd get a little sleep, like 4 hours here or something. He goes, "No, you gotta sleep, full bore ahead. We gotta get this engine to Seattle." So I was like, "No, I'm getting off. Getting off this crazy train." Drop me off in New Orleans. So I got off in New Orleans, and him and my brother powered ahead, got the engine to Seattle, and it made it to the bay on time. I was like, "My life is not worth this engine." And my last trip with my father was this past summer to Germany. He returned to his homeland for a family visit. It was me, we met my sister and her kids over there and had a beautiful time. And one day he goes, "I want to go to Munich. I want to go see where I swam in this river with my dad. And I want to look at the river." And I said, "Okay." So we went and we looked at the river and he goes, "I want to swim in that river." And I said, "Dad, no, it's a little too swift today. We're not swimming in that river." So we went down, because maybe there's a quieter spot. And so we went and looked, no quieter spot. "No, Dad, you're not getting in that river today." So then we went to the Hofbräuhaus, one of the most oldest Hofbräuhaus in Munich. From the 1800s, been through two world wars, ate some Wiener Schnitzel, had a couple beers, got on the road, thought I was going back to my aunt's house, and he was like, no, we're going to a village, we're going to this village. So we drove into the countryside, and we went to the village, and he laid in that meadow, or looked at that meadow they laid in when he was four and had his first happy memory of his life. And he looked at the clouds, and he was like, "I was so happy here when I was four." And I sat there and I watched him and I said, in my heart, I knew that was him. He was ready to go. He was preparing to leave and I knew he was not coming back to Germany again. And we left and I sadly wept in the back seat. He had no idea. And I knew he was preparing to leave. And preparing to leave us. But I put that out of my mind. And I thought, no, we'll have them. We'll have them for one last Christmas. Those journeys and roads less traveled were the best blessings of my life.
He is retired military and U.S. Coast Guard civilian. He and his wife Lori have one daughter, Madison. He enjoys hunting, fishing, and drinking good bourbon. And he has survived 6 days in Canada.
Give me a second. Because that last story, give me a second. I have a dad too. That was tough. You should have told me I was following that. Oh, I love my dad. My story actually kind of consists of four different events. Two in the beginning as a teenager, two later on in life, right? So the two as a teenager, 14 years old, thought I knew everything, knew what I was going to do, for the rest of my life, right? I was going to play soccer. Yeah. That was a fact. Nonetheless, my parents had other ideas. So the first two stories I have for you, and I'll condense this down to 7 minutes, I guarantee it. I'm just very appreciative of the previous story. Thank you. The first two stories, the decisions to take the road less traveled were made for me. The last two stories I'm going to share with you, I made that decision, right? So sometimes they're made for you, sometimes you make them, but guess what? There's a chance it turns out positive in the end. So the first two, I'm an eighth grader. 1980-81, anybody hear from that genre? Woo! Guess what? We were rocking some big hair. Yeah. We had some rock bands, you know, Poison, you know. We had some Bon Jovi. We had some big hair. We had some mullets. Right? Yeah. I was 14 years old. I was going to a public high school with all my buddies rocking a mullet. Right? 2,500 students, half of which were females. We were good, you know. Target-rich environment, we were just gonna have fun, play soccer, play football, have fun, right? No, mom and dad said, no, there's this new school. It's a military school, Naval Academy. Naval Academy. You gotta wear a uniform. You gotta have a high and tight. Honey, Mom, I ain't cutting my hair. No, I ain't wearing a uniform. Mom and dad both said, yes you are, and yes you are, right? So needless to say, for the next 4 years, I'm wearing a high and tight and wearing a uniform, and I'm toeing the line, right? Graduated. Couldn't believe it, but I did. 2.5. Woo! But I graduated. What I told myself for the previous 4 years was, I really didn't think the SEALs really had a GPA requirement. All I had to do was graduate and I'd just go into buds. You know what I mean? I just get accepted. And that really isn't how it works. All right? Got to graduate a little bit higher. Got to be a little bit higher on the totem pole. So, anyway, the SEALs didn't work out. Soccer didn't work out. I was thinking, okay, what else am I going to do? My parents said, you're going to college. I go, did you just look at my transcript? It was 2.5. That's not really leading to a college education, right? You're not going to be successful. So they said, no, you're going to go to college. You're going to get a scholarship. I go, what? All right, what college am I going to? Well, you got to figure that out. You got to figure out a college you want to go to. Needless to say, I went to college on a soccer scholarship to the Harvard of the Midwest. Anybody heard of that one? No? It's a small little school, Tarkio College. Anybody heard of that? No, Northwest Missouri. Last town you hit before Iowa, second to last town you hit before Nebraska. Closest big town is Omaha. That's right, where you order your steaks, right? Spent 4 years in the cornfield playing soccer, getting educated, all right? Guess what, I graduated. Guess what? It was 2.7. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe the SEALs will come knocking now. 2.7. No, not so much. Anyway, let's fast forward, all right? 30 years after that, right? Life. Married, 4 kids, ready to rock and roll, right? Kind of steady, living in Michigan now. Okay, we got some Michiganders, right? Where we live? All right, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what that is if you're from Michigan, or at least the Great Lakes. Yes, ma'am, I'm so sorry. So anyway, This is the most important part. I spent the majority of my time, and I apologize on the first part, but the last two segments, that was the first two segments where the parents made the decision for me. The last two segments were when I was in Michigan, established, had a career opportunity to come to Alaska. I said, babies, what's not to like about that? We're coming to the land of the last frontier. Woo! We're gonna rock and roll! Come on, let's go. She goes, no. Our youngest daughter's a sophomore in high school. She's a rock star, by the way. Straight A student. She wants to stay and finish out her career as a Crestwood High School student and graduate. I said, okay, honey. I'll just mosey on and head up the Alcan by myself and head up to Alaska, and I'll come back and forth, you know, every quarter or whatever. Nonetheless, we made it work, right, for 3 years. That was 2016. So 2019, that was a road less traveled coming up to Alaska, because not too many people do it. But I'm looking at a room full that had done. Woo! God bless you. Now, 2019, 4 months ago, I get a job opportunity to come to Kodiak. Are you kidding me? Hey, honey, I know you're still in Michigan. Maddie's already graduated. She's off to college. Now we can start our future, right? Let's go to Kodiak. She goes, I didn't think you could get more remote. Now you want to go on an island. I said, okay, all right, I got you now. We'll make it work. You stay behind one more year and take care of Maddie in college. She's going to Eastern Michigan, by the way. All right, she's an Eagle. I don't know if you guys know that. It's way down here. Way down here. So she's staying behind one more year. April 7th, I'm buying her a one-way ticket. She'll be on that plane. If I gotta fly back and drag her on. She came here for Thanksgiving, by the way, and thank you for giving me an extra minute. She came here for Thanksgiving, and she loves every one of you. She's a city girl, and she likes to golf. Brian, I told you, babies, we got the best golf course in the world right here at 9 holes. It's Bear Valley. You can't get any better. And if you don't like that one, we'll make you one. I'll make you one. Right? So, nonetheless, my Road Less Travels has been my entire life, but my most important one has been bringing me to you guys, and I'm blessed for it. Thank you.
Galley Table Storytelling is made possible through a partnership with the Kodiak Arts Council and Kodiak Public Broadcasting Corporation. Visit us online at galleytables.com to find the date and location of the next live storytelling event. You can also browse our archives and listen to past stories or sign up to be a storyteller. Galley Tables, sharing stories and sharing life.